We've been talking about the hidden day-to-day world of law enforcement this week. Once cops make arrests, the accused go to jail. Long before a trial, jail is the warehouse netherworld where everyone is passing through, although some can end up staying indefinitely. Jail in America is something like the mysterious world of Guantanamo Bay. Uncertain trials, uncertain judgments about people being a danger to society, a holding pen, except unlike Gitmo, the jails are crowded. In Cook County, Illinois, the average jail population is 9,000, Los Angeles, 16,000. In New York, it's 11,400, most of them at the giant Rikers Island facility. The population at Rikers is coming down, but not nearly fast enough, says Martin Horn. He was the commissioner of the New York City Department of Correction from 2003 to 2009. He's now a distinguished lecturer at John Jay College of Criminal Justice.
Rikers Island has really become the metaphor for criminal confinement in New York City, and it has become, over the years, New York's form of exile or purgatory. It's much like Devil's Island in some respects. It is on this mountain of garbage in a place called Bowery Bay. To get to it, you have to cross a bridge that's located between the jet fuel depot for LaGuardia Airport on one side and a wastewater treatment plant on the other. And I think that's sort of a metaphorical description of this very desperate place where there are 10 jail buildings, nine of which are operating. I think people often think of it as a single jail, but it's not.
What rights do people in jail have, or what are they supposed to have, and why are they, as you refer to, the forgotten population?
The vast majority of people in the jails on Rikers Island are defendants awaiting trial who have not yet been convicted of anything. And so they have certain due process rights guaranteed to them by the 14th Amendment, not to be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, not to be held on excessive bail. And they're also, they have the right not to be punished in cruel and unusual ways. Probably 10, no more than 20% of the prisoners out there are serving short sentences. In New York State, if you serve a sentence of less than a year, you do your time in local jail, which is Rikers Island.
Why do they enter this netherworld? Certainly at the point of arrest, there may be a headline. There may not be. But at the point of trial, there's a focus on rights and due process. But in this sort of middle period, they seem to drop into a black hole.
Yeah. Well, there are two streams of prisoners that go through Rikers Island. It's very interesting when you really look at the data. Roughly 25% of the people who are admitted to the city's jails, not just Rikers Island, but all the city's jails, 25% of them are in and out within 3 days. 50% of the people that the city locks up are out within 2 weeks. But then if you stay longer than 2 weeks, the odds are you're going to stay a long time, on average 6 months. And there are some prisoners who remain awaiting trial for 2 years. And the reasons for this are varied. Part of it has to do with the way the judges in the city use bail and our reliance on money bail. The second thing is that some of these individuals languish for a long period of time. One must ask why some of these cases take as long as they do. In my conversations with corrections officials and in my own experience, the people who serve the longest time are very frequently the people who get into the most trouble. They're most often the prisoners who are predatory and victimize other prisoners, and also most often the people who are themselves victimized, others of them. So we really ought to concentrate on the long stayers, the people who stay a long time.
If judges were to prescribe bail more rationally, in your view, and take into account issues of whether someone is indigent or not, and you know, reasonable people can disagree about what's an appropriate bail or not, but if the number of people who could be released without bail were actually released, how much would the Rikers population go down, do you think?
I think that combining some bail reform and instituting some form of pretrial supervision and doing a better job of diverting some of the mentally ill who don't belong in jail, and doing a better job of reducing the time it takes to dispose of some of these cases, you could probably bring the city's jail population down below 8,000 prisoners. I think on Christmas Day, it was at about 9,500, which was the lowest it's been in probably 30 years. I think you could, with not too much effort, get it down under 8,000, perhaps as low as 7,000 prisoners per day, which would actually give us fewer prisoners than the city of Philadelphia. And if you did that, it would allow you to rely far less on Rikers Island.
Finally, you mentioned the mental illness problem in places like Rikers. As the population would decline under bail reform, does Rikers and jails like it become more like mental health facilities, sort of default warehouses for the mentally ill who can't be returned to the community?
Well, I think proportionately that's part of what has happened. Individuals with mental illness are the hardest to divert, but the most important people that we must divert. The jails are the wrong place for them. It's really a shame that in the 21st century in America, we're providing more acute mental health care in our jails than we are in our hospitals.
As the commissioner of the New York City Department of Corrections, do you have any power over the culture of Rikers and how it operates? And what kinds of things did you have challenges with, and what kinds of things could you actually control?
Well, certainly you have some power, but changing a culture like that takes a lot of time. I had two perceptions. One was that in some ways Rikers Island is like Las Vegas. There is this ethic among the staff that what happens on Rikers stays on Rikers. And in some ways, the city's reliance on this island, sending these individuals, the prisoners, away, demonizing them, stigmatizing them in that way, permits that kind of culture to exist. It's the city telling the staff that we really don't care about these people very much, and so whatever you do to them is fine with us. They're out of sight, out of mind. The second part of the problem was that the staff, I describe them as the B team. We be here when you come and we be here when you go. They've seen commissioners pass through. The pension system allows the officers to leave after 20 years. And so your experienced managers leave quite promptly. And it takes time to change that culture.
Martin Horn was the commissioner of the New York City Department of Correction from 2003 to 2009. He's now a distinguished lecturer at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Thanks so much, Martin.
You're welcome.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.